At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Dallas police quietly gathered in front of their headquarters this morning to remember the officers who died 2 years ago tomorrow. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports the shooting on July 7th, 2016, was one of the deadliest days in U.S. law enforcement history.
Songs and prayers from four different faiths opened the observance. Along with citizens and officials, police remembered Dallas officers who died on July 7, 2016. Lauren Ahrens, Michael Kroll, Patricio Zamaripa, Michael Smith, and DART officer Brent Thompson. They were ambushed downtown following a peaceful rally. Dallas Police Chief Renee Hall mentioned those killed that night and added Rogelio Santander, who died in a Home Depot shooting earlier this year.
We assemble here today as a celebration of life. These officers left a legacy, and we need to honor that legacy by remembering them and remembering the families, honoring you each and every day.
Hall called that July night 2 years ago among the deadliest in U.S. police history.
It was also the department's and this community's finest hour.
State Senator Royce West said actions of the Dallas Police Department that night have helped redefine the city's national image.
When you see individuals coming together, surrounding, supporting law enforcement, with a chief of police that cares about making certain her troops understand and appreciate their response for the community and what the behavior expectations are, both police officers and citizens.
At the end of the morning service, family members and Dallas police released to the skies white balloons representing the slain officers.
You are loved. You are missed. You are remembered.
A monument in memory of the officers lost July 7th is scheduled to go up soon near the entrance to the Dallas Police Headquarters. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Crews are making progress as they battle a wildfire in Palo Pinto County, about 60 miles west of Fort Worth. The fire hasn't grown since yesterday, scorched about 4,500 acres. Aaron O'Connor with the Texas A&M Forest Service says the fire is now about 55% contained, but firefighters will keep working over the weekend.
Just to make sure that everything, you know, is really buttoned up and that we don't get any more, you know, flare-ups or activity, that our lines are holding, that we've really done a good job patrolling and mopping up, you know, as we continue with this kind of hot, dry, windy weather pattern, especially after the weekend. They just want to make sure that they're not leaving anything, you know, untouched or undone.
A lightning strike is the likely cause of the so-called surprise fire. Crews will continue to reinforce the fire line, which cuts off the fire from its source of fuel, in this case grass and shrubs, so the flames can't spread. The Leavers tells the story of an Asian-American boy who was adopted by white parents after his undocumented mother disappears. The novel was a finalist for the 2017 National Book Award. And today on Think, Chris Boyd talked with author Lisa Koh about how the book explores Asian-American identity.
Asian-Americans are always seen as foreign, even if our families might have been here for four or five generations. And one of the things that I was kind of interested in exploring with the book is this kind of idea of an Asian-American double consciousness, the way that we might see ourselves in one particular way, but other people might see ourselves in another way. And that's something expressed in the chapters where Deming's name is first changed to Daniel. He refers to himself as Deming. He sees himself as Deming. But everyone around him in his new school, his new family, new town says Daniel, right? So, you know, it's a way to sort of play with the idea of names and identity and name changes, and also just how America sees Polly and Deming as different than how they see themselves. And how does that affect you when you know that people are looking at you in a certain way that isn't necessarily the right way?
Lisa Koh is the author of The Leavers. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 9, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Tonight, a new play opens in Dallas about the American debate over gun violence. But this one's different. Teen actors take on the roles of real-life victims and gun advocates. Martin Seeks, Hadi Mwangi, and Jerome Weeks have been following the making of this play for 6 months. In this week's State of the Arts, Ann Bothwell talks with reporters about what it took for these teenagers to create the show called Babel.
Jerome, Cry Havoc Theater Company started work on this play in January. Why did it take so long to make this play?
Their process is what's called devised theater or documentary theater. That means they start without a script. They start from scratch. For Babel, they interviewed dozens of people on different sides in our national gun debate and then used the transcripts from those interviews to hammer out their own script. They flew to Connecticut, for instance, to interview people like Mark Barden. His 7-year-old son Daniel was among the 20 first grade students who were shot to death at Sandy Hook Elementary.
I have this kind of screwed up need to take as much of the pain as I can because I couldn't be there to save him, and he had to deal with it all. Like, I don't feel like I want to be cured or better or counseled or make this easier. I want it to be hard, and I want all the pain there is.
That's pretty strong emotional stuff for these students. What did they think about guns when the whole project started?
These kids were not naive about guns. Two of them tell me that every year in high school, they've lost classmates to gun violence. Another performer's father was killed by a gun, and at least one had a friend who killed herself with a gun. But when it came to policy or the NRA, I think they were pretty green.
Right. I mean, they're still teenagers. They didn't come into this with strong feelings about the Second Amendment, bump stocks, background checks. So these interviews didn't just give them, you know, dramatic material for their show. It gave them an education into why this debate is just so tangled. It put them eye to eye with real people.
Babel sounds like a super ambitious project. What else did they do to prepare for this show?
Well, the group took gun safety training, and they shot a fully automatic AR-15.
That's the same kind of weapon that was used in the Parkland shooting.
That's right. And, you know, after the gun safety training, they spoke with parents whose children were murdered and who had used guns to kill themselves. And those interviews, they were the toughest. One mother explained what her son's 60-pound lifeless body looked like after it was filled with bullet holes. After that, they flew to D.C. to talk with politicians like Senator John Cornyn and lobbyists.
And didn't they also become NRA members?
They did. They did that so that they could interview folks at the convention in Dallas this May. Here's company member Mary Bandy talking with a gun vendor.
So we're trying to get every single point of view on this, especially because it's such a hot topic in America right now.
Correct.
On that note, what are your thoughts on the Parkland students? Their motivations?
Well, this is America. I mean, if you believe that strongly on something, you should protest it.
Jerome, you mentioned that this was about much more than just learning how to put on a play. It was also another kind of education for these students.
Right. For some of them, this was the first time they'd been forced to think about how complicated and painful this issue is. Right now, after all this process, they may not have clear-cut political solutions to the whole problem, but they certainly understand why it's such a problem, and they're better able to articulate their own feelings.
I agree. They have a better understanding of politics and how compromise sometimes blocks good intentions.
And unlike many of us, they've been exposed directly to the anger and pain of this debate.
Yeah, for sure. For some people, this is life or death.
This is the way Angie Hogue, another Cry Havoc cast member, expressed the way she's feeling now.
I'm happy when I think about us doing this show because I know that the way we're doing it is not going, guns are bad. You know, it's like, no, these things are happening and we're all so confused and we don't know how to talk about it. And it's making us upset. Like, I'm struggling to find something, an answer that satisfies me, and I haven't found it yet.
And I think it's also important to mention that these young people have learned a lot about being performers, too. In Babel, they're playing real people whom they've met, and they're speaking those people's words. I mean, talk about having to walk a mile in someone else's shoes.
Jerome Weeks, Hadi Mawagdi, thank you for sharing what you've been learning from all of this reporting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Babel continues through July 15th at Hammond Hall in the Winspear Opera House. To watch a video of how the show's set came together and to read all of our coverage, visit artandseek.org/guns. And for the evening, mostly cloudy skies, 40% chance for showers, the low around 78 tonight. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 20% chance of rain with a high around 97. At 6:30, this is KERA News.